Hi, everyone. Welcome to Change Starts Here Research Conversations. I'm Jennifer Chevalier, and I'm here with my friend and colleague, Kim Yaris. We are finishing off our series on systemic synergy today. As a reminder, systemic synergy is intentionally designing systems so that there is synergy across departments, ranks, levels, locations, and schedules. So today, we are focusing on the importance of connecting students with the community.
Yes, I am really excited to explore this topic. Ultimately, what we're going for is about expanding opportunities for students. We want to enhance their learning, get them engaged, not just for the present moment, but for their futures as well. So, how can we do that? Well, in order to answer that, it comes back to the question of silos and how to break them down so that we can build meaningful, reciprocal partnerships with local communities.
What a great question. So when you think about why educators should care about connecting students to the community, what comes to mind for you?
I remember a time when a friend of my son first learned that some children don't receive gifts at the holidays because their families can't afford it. I remember her shock and surprise and visible emotion. But this girl at 9 years old decided she was going to do something about it. She got her friend's parents together and they organized a toy drive. But here's the thing. She didn't do it that year when she was nine. She did it every year until she graduated high school, which was to me really inspiring. It stands as like an example of what being connected to a community really means. Too often, schools and students are disconnected from the broader community, but the benefits of learning that extends beyond the classroom walls are palpable.
Wow, that's such an accomplishment by that girl that you described. It really speaks to the impact of connecting students to something bigger than themselves. And, you know, this isn't just about academics. It's about meaningful, real-world learning. And when students engage with their communities, they're not just developing skills. They're building empathy, agency, and a deeper sense of the world around them. That's the kind of learning that sticks.
There's so much to gain by connecting students with their communities and providing real-world experiences. It's like it bridges the gap between what they learn in school and how it applies beyond the classroom. And it just makes learning so much more relevant, engaging, and ultimately stickier.
Well, I can say that definitely holds true for me even now as an adult learner. If I can make a connection or see how something new connects to something I know and do, then I can learn it much more quickly.
Same for me. And research shows that when educators connect student learning to real-world scenarios, students develop critical thinking skills because they need to analyze, evaluate, and apply information in complex situations instead of just memorizing it.
Yes, and also by practicing the knowledge and skills in real-world contexts, educators help students develop transferable skills like adaptability and problem-solving, collaboration, and communication.
Yeah, and that's the very thing that employers are looking for in their new hires, right? That's what they want them to be able to do. But the idea of connecting students to the community is bigger than providing real-world applications of learning.
Definitely, because when we actually connect students to community members, businesses, organizations, we're inviting the community to invest in their own future workforce and future community leaders. This is the sweet spot.
Oh, it is. And there are different meaningful ways to bridge connections between community and students. For example, mentorship. So mentoring can be either an informal or a formal process where someone in the community invests in the personal life of one or more students. So mentoring relationships generally focus more on personal growth or leadership development. So according to the Annie E. Casey Foundation, students who have consistent mentoring relationships have improved outcomes. So let me grab the statistics. All right, here they are. 85% say the mentorship helped them with issues related to school and their education. 58% say the mentorship supported their mental health. 74% say their mentor contributed significantly to the later success in life.
Oh, those are compelling statistics about the impact of mentorships. And another meaningful way to connect students to the community is through internships. Whereas mentorships focus more on the personal growth, internships focus more on job preparation by learning the skills needed to perform job-related duties. And these can include learning skilled trades, industry-specific equipment, computer systems and software, and employability skills. Research shows that students who participate in internships are more likely to secure employment upon graduation than those who don't, have improved job satisfaction because they got to try out the job before committing to it, and have higher self-confidence.
Well, that sounds like a win for students too, right? So earlier I mentioned the need for meaningful and reciprocal partnerships between community and schools. And so the research results on this are in. So this is for sure meaningful for students. But the question is, are they reciprocal? Are they helpful to the people they are helping within the community?
Okay, well, we often talk about these benefits of mentorship and internship for the community members in very futuristic terms. Future workers for your company, future leaders for your community, and of course those are true. But there are more immediate benefits too if mentorships and internships are done well.
Agreed. As I explored how mentorships and partnerships benefit community members and business leaders, I found that they help in three key ways. One, mentors strengthen their leadership skills through the act of mentoring. Two, mentoring improves their ability to give feedback and actively listen. And three, mentoring gives people a deeper sense of purpose and meaning.
Well, that sounds like a win-win for mentorship. And for internships, the benefits to the organization include expanding the employee pipeline. Did you know, Kim, that 40% of full-time employees come from a company's internship program?
That's a lot.
It is. So interns become employees, which decreases recruiting time and costs. And internships also lead to decreased employee turnover and associated costs because the employees are much more likely to be successful in the new job upon the conclusion of the internship. So all this to say that internships positively impact a company's bottom line. Also, instead of school districts needing to purchase industry standard equipment or software to help students develop the skills and knowledge to be successful beyond graduation, internships give students access to these high-cost items without a financial burden to the district.
I hadn't even thought about that. And there is another more direct benefit to educators for helping connect students to the community. Shared responsibility and increased resourcing, which you just touched on. When we break down silos and create synergy between the community and students, we are helping decrease teacher workload. When we have other people investing in the lives of our students, we ensure the needs of the whole child are being met through it takes a village mentality. Right? So let's face it, there are some things that students can gain from members of the community that they just can't get from their teachers or the educational setting.
Let's explore that notion a little further. So I'm thinking about what students can gain from being connected to the community that they cannot get in the traditional educational setting. How about a sense of belonging in the community? We've seen how critical it is for students to have a sense of belonging in their classrooms and schools. It positively impacts their well-being, their attendance, engagement, and helps prevent school-related violence incidents.
So true. When students feel this ever broader sense of belonging to their communities, they are more confident and more successful in life. Did you know that they also are also more likely to live and work in that community as an adult if they feel a sense of belonging within their community? So I grew up in a rural community, and I did not feel that strong sense of connection. When I was young, I had a hard time imagining how I could be successful there. I didn't see my future. And so at a pretty young age, I knew that I wouldn't stay there after I graduated high school.
Wow. So there really are larger societal implications to connecting students to their community. It actually elevates the entire community because students are more likely to live in the community as an adult. To simplify it, connecting students to the community results in thriving people and communities.
Exactly. And so now that we've explored the why behind community partnerships, let's talk about the how. So back in episode 2 of this season, we discussed breaking down silos. And that idea applies here, and that's why I'm bringing it up. So every district, school, and even teacher is starting from a different place. Some may need to create windows to see new possibilities. Others might be ready to open doors to collaboration. And some may need to break out the heavy equipment to fully transform their approach.
Okay, let's talk through what creating windows can look like when thinking about how to connect students to the community. The idea of creating windows is about visibility and transparency. What we don't want to do is just create connections to the community that are irrelevant and unnecessary or overly complicated. So something schools can do to prevent that is by starting to invite the community in to see what is taking place in your district schools and classrooms. Let them get a sense of what is happening by providing overviews and data reports, for example.
Ooh, that's a great way to start. Also, it could work the other way around, couldn't it? Where the organizations and leaders in the community share information with the district or the school leaders?
Absolutely. We need to understand the role each person or organization already plays. And if the windows help everyone see the potential for a deeper connection, then the next step is to create and open doors. Invite the community members to come and tour the district office, the schools, the classrooms, to get a deeper understanding of what takes place. Invite them to sit in on meetings to continue to deepen their understanding. And as you pointed out a minute ago, Kim, it can work in the reverse, where the community members and organizations invite district and school leaders to visit their sites and sit in on their meetings to understand their work more deeply.
Can you imagine the natural connections between school and community that can be uncovered by opening doors? And that ultimately is the goal. Not to form connections that are contrived, but to find those natural points of synergy. What need does an organization have that the school or district can fill? And how can that relationship be mutually beneficial so there are positive impacts for students?
I can't help but make a connection to the 7 habits of highly effective people here, Kim. The windows and doors of silo remodeling are aligned to habit 4, think win-win, and habit 5, seek first to understand, then to be understood, and habit 6, synergize. Connecting students to the community, when framed as it being a win-win for community and schools, then both sides are willing to engage. Then, when we take the time to understand each other's work, the challenges and opportunities that we have, we can find those natural points of synergy.
It's amazing how the 7 habits can be applied to any situation. So we've talked about windows and we've talked about doors. Next, we're up to heavy construction to our silos. What would that look like?
We've already touched on the power of mentorships and internships, but there are a couple more ways to connect students to the community: community service projects and job shadowing. So first, let's talk through what these are and how to make them happen. I'll start with community service projects. There are many ways this can look, but I feel like the most common ways are actually like unpaid labor, where students are cleaning up a park or painting a fence, essentially investing in an area of the community. The benefits here are strengthening relationships among the students while improving the community.
Ah, yes. The big thing in our family was participating in beach cleanup days. Mm. Whenever we'd go to these events, there was a lot of camaraderie amongst the people participating. And the thing that I thought was especially important for my kids was the conversation it spurred about what they found and how they could do better themselves to not contribute to this sort of pollution.
Great example. There is another way to approach community service projects that I would argue do a better job of connecting students to the community. And those are the types of projects when students are interacting with people from the community. When projects like this take place, relationships are created between students and other groups in the community. For example, I remember in middle school going to Tally Ho Nursing Home in northern New Jersey every other week and playing games with the residents. That experience helped me feel connected to a different segment of the population within my own community. I felt important and valued because the residents of the nursing home were so happy to see us when we came. I definitely experienced a sense of belonging within the community as a result of that activity.
Oh, that is such a beautiful example. And I am sure the nursing home residents enjoyed the time that they had with you. I bet they look forward to your visits very much.
To create meaningful community connections, the school here really needed to be aware that the residents of the nursing home were feeling isolated. And the nursing home needed to be aware that the school was looking to create a community connection for students. So that's where the windows and doors likely came into play.
Okay, and the heavy construction occurred by identifying an activity to facilitate the relationships to create a meaningful community connection. Then the school and the nursing home staff had to synergize to create the opportunity, which I'm guessing included transportation and after-school club on the side of the school and a schedule modification for the nursing home.
That sounds right. So another one we can explore here is job shadowing. Kim, what can that look like?
Well, we know that it's important for students to have opportunities to consider different career pathways, but it's often hypothetical. It sounds like a career I would want to pursue. What if we develop systems for students to actually shadow people doing the jobs they think they might want to do so it can be a little bit more clear?
That would have really helped me. Sometimes we have a perception of what a job entails, and it seems like a good fit, but it actually isn't. The best way to know is to see it in action. I think back to Take Your Child to Work Day when I was a kid. My dad was a stock analyst on Wall Street, so I went to work with him every year. And that would have been great if I had any inclination of being a stock analyst, but that just wasn't my thing. So those days would have been much better spent shadowing other careers that I thought I wanted to do.
My dad was a logger. And though I never actually shadowed him, I knew for certain that would not have been helpful. But I also know for certain that I would have appreciated spending time with people in other professions, the ones that I was interested in. I was so curious about the world, and it makes me wonder how it might have influenced my plans for the future as a younger person. I'm looking at the clock, noticing that we are almost out of time. It's so hard to believe that this is the conclusion of our podcast season about systemic synergy, aiming to improve outcomes for districts, schools, teachers, students, and communities. Jen, what has been your favorite part of our series this year?
I'm a systems thinker. So early in the season, we talked about simple systems that districts can set up to promote synergy across the entire organization was a definite highlight for me. How about you, Kim?
In my heart, I am a practitioner. So the very practical suggestions for teachers that have come up in our later episodes on topics like developing teacher efficacy and building student agency have been my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd love to give a shout out to our listeners and say thank you for joining us this season. Those episodes that Kim and I just mentioned are available on YouTube, Apple, or Spotify. If you haven't already, please like and subscribe to Change Starts Here so you know when we kick off our next season with a brand new theme for the 2025-26 school year. We're so grateful for you tuning in with us.
All right. Thank you.